Welcome back to our coverage of today's Supreme Court rulings. Finally, after, you know, days and days of people waiting on pins and needles, very big rulings today. We'll sum them up again for you. But if you've just joined us, the Supreme Court ruling that striking down three provisions of Arizona's, what Arizonians would call their anti-illegal immigration law, the Supreme Court finding that police in that state can ask people about their immigration status, but striking down other aspects of the law, including a requirement that people carry papers. The court also ruled today that a state can't trump the court's own decision in Citizens United. Montana had wanted to restrict corporate spending in that state, and the court ruled you cannot do that. And we now want to turn to the decision on life sentences without parole for juveniles. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that it is unconstitutional to send young people convicted of murder to prison for the rest of their lives. The decision came in the robbery and murder cases of two 14-year-olds. Evan Miller was convicted of killing a man in Alabama. Contrell Jackson was convicted of being an accomplice in an Arkansas robbery that ended in murder. Both were sentenced to life without parole. WBUR reporter and Here and Now's own Deborah Becker has been following this case very closely. She's taken a personal look at some of the people who have been, you know, subject to this law. And Deb, we want to hear those stories first. But tell us first today about the court's explanation for their decision. What was their decision? What was the vote?
Well, Robin, it was in line with other decisions that the court has made really about juveniles in the past 5 years or so. Today's opinion was delivered by Justice Kagan, and the opinion came, as you said, in those two cases involving 14-year-olds, but the court said that this decision applies to all juveniles, which for federal purposes are those defined as under the age of 18. That's how juveniles are defined in federal law. And the judges did cite some of their previous cases and said that children are constitutionally different from adults for sentencing purposes. They said their inherent lack of maturity leads to restlessness, impulsivity, and heedless risk-taking. The justices also cited previous rulings against life sentences for juveniles and said that a child's character is not yet fully formed and a child has a greater capacity for change. The justices in the majority opinion said that life without parole sentences for juveniles are akin to the death penalty.
Do you have that breakdown, by the way? Who was with Kagan?
That's right. The dissenting justices are Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. Those are the four against.
And so what did they say?
And what they said, Justice Roberts specifically said, quote, "The high court's role is to apply the law, not answer questions about morality and social policy." He did say, not in quotes here, that it is difficult to sentence teenagers and it's emotional. But he said the high court's ruling is really, the high court's opinions really are supposed to be about matters of law. And Justice Thomas said today's decision invalidates a constitutionally permissible sentencing system based on nothing more than the court's belief in its own sense of morality.
Okay. And agreeing with them would be presumably the National District Attorneys Association. They supported life without parole sentences for juveniles.
Right. They wrote an amicus brief and they said that these sentences help protect public safety and help get some sort of justice for victims' families, and they should stay intact.
So, Deb, that's today's decision. You have been looking at this for a while. Tell us about some of the cases you've been covering that might be affected by this ruling.
Well, one of them that will probably be affected almost immediately is the case of Joe Donovan. He's been in prison for 20 years. He was sent there when he was 17 years old. He was in a fight in Cambridge that resulted in the fatal stabbing.
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yep. Sorry about that. That resulted in the fatal stabbing of an MIT student. Now, Donovan was with two others. He was the only one who was 17. 17 is the age of criminal responsibility in Massachusetts, so you're tried as an adult automatically. Donovan is still in jail. The actual person who did the stabbing was released because they were all charged in a joint venture, what's known as a joint venture. So they're all culpable for the same charges, regardless of who was the actual perpetrator of the crime that resulted in the murder.
But why was he in jail?
Because he was 17. He was an adult.
And the other was younger?
Yep, and the other one was 15
younger.
at that point.
Okay.
That's right. So when we spoke with Donovan, we visited him in prison, and he, like the majority of the justices today, compared his sentence to the death penalty. Let's listen.
The hardest thing, hands down, about being here is the pain I caused my family. Hardest thing. You know, just the pain that, like, you know, they have to come up here and be subject to this. They have to leave me here every time they come up and visit me. They have to hear me all the time. It's really a slow death. It's like their son is having a slow death, and they have to deal with that. sort of like the death penalty, only it's by increments.
And that's Joe Donovan. He's now 37 years old.
And what happens now? Does he automatically get out? I mean,
No, he does not automatically. We talked with his attorney. Her name is Ingrid Martin. She's got a legal team assembled. And what she says is that they will file and say that now that the Supreme Court has said that his sentence is unconstitutional, they would like this case reconsidered. Let's listen to what she said this morning.
He was automatically sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Because of the felony murder rule. So there was no opportunity for a judge to evaluate his youth and his particular case. It was mandatory given the conviction, the ruling of the jury, that he had to spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. And the Supreme Court has now said that for a juvenile is unconstitutional, that there must be some opportunity in the sentencing process for a judge to examine that and to evaluate whether that's really an appropriate sentence for this particular juvenile.
And that's the key, Robin. Regardless of today's Supreme Court ruling, juveniles can still be sent to prison for life without the possibility of parole, but it's no longer mandatory in murder cases. And so this ruling also means that juveniles are eligible for parole, not necessarily granted parole. So, you know, it's a big step, but it doesn't mean they'll be released anytime soon.
Well, and what I'm also hearing is that, you know, the Supreme Court is saying, this is what we think is what the age of juvenile is, because for states, it's across the board different.
That's
everywhere.
Exactly right.
Wait, Deb Becker from Here Now's mother station WBUR. Also, we want to note a 2012 Juvenile Justice Fellow for the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. Deb, thanks so much for following this story, and we'll continue to see. Please come back and let us know what happens to Joe.
Okay, thanks
so much. Okay, so a lot going on today. Of course, the health care ruling has not come down. We expect that Wednesday or Thursday of this week. But your thoughts on what you've heard about Arizona's immigration law, the court upholding a key finding there that police can ask people about their immigration status, Montana trumped on campaign finance, or juvenile, as we just heard, let us know. HereNow.org.